Along with Bill, I too want to welcome everyone here this evening on another beautiful day. You say, well, it's not quite so pretty, but it is. Every day is beautiful. Every day is beautiful. One of my best friends years ago in another congregation, I used to go to an elderly man like me. I asked him, how you feel? He said, I feel wonderful. The most wonderful thing happened to me this morning. What? He's rich as he can be. I said, what? He said, I woke up. So that's the way we should look at it, I think. Even though it's rainy outside, it's still beautiful to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad Susan George is with us again, and Charlene, and we're glad that everybody is here. We're so thankful that Vivian's back with us, and everything is really great. I love it. Love being here. You know, many is the time when Jane and I have been in a store shopping, and I'd be talking to her about a certain item that we needed to buy, and guess what? When I turn around to ask Jane if this is the item we needed to buy, I discover she was clear down the aisle, not even close to me. And the only person close to me was some person I never had seen before, and they kind of looked at me like, who in the world is he talking to? Well, I would say something to them by the way of explanation and get on out of the aisle. But there I have been talking to my wife, and I didn't even know she was gone. Now, I have told you this little tale because it brought to mind one of the saddest statements that I know of in the Bible. And the passage that I want to use as a starting point of our lesson this evening is found in Judges, the 16th chapter, and involves Samson and Delilah. So would you turn with me to Judges chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse 15, and we'll read all the way down to verse 20. And the passage says, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he has told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused her to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. That's what this lesson is about. He knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Isn't that sad? Brethren and friends, most people today live their lives as though God will never turn away from them, regardless of what they do or what they say, regardless of what they think, regardless of what they do or don't do. And that's what makes these words so very sad. That is exactly what Samson thought too. In so many ways, Samson was a heroic individual. From his birth, he was a Nazarite. And I believe the strictness of the vows helped Samson stay spiritually strong for a time. Now let's go back to Judges, in this time chapter 13. And let's read verses 3 through 5, if you would. Judges 13. In Judges 13, 3 through 5, we find this account of the angel appearing to the woman who would become Samson's mother. The passage says, beginning in verse 3, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. The great deeds of Samson are recorded in the book of Judges. His heroic exploits in which he prevailed over the Philistines are counted one after another. Now let's turn to chapter 15 of Judges. Samson's own word in chapter 15 and verse 16, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men, that epitomized his great zeal and his desire to be victorious for the Lord. But this great man of God had a weakness of the flesh. And I believe that we can see the weakness and the beginning of his downward path in Judges chapter 14. Let's look now at Judges 14 verses 1 through 3. And the passage says, And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. Samson wanted this woman for all the wrong reasons. It didn't seem to bother him that God's law prohibited him from marrying a woman from another nation. But he said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. That's all he cared about. He cared about himself. Get her for me, he says. I don't care what God thinks. Samson's later dealing with Delilah would follow the same pattern. He was ruined and ruled by his fleshly desires. When Delilah prevailed upon him to tell her the secret of his great strength, he broke his vow to the Lord just to please the woman. Finally, God had had enough. He had had enough. When Samson told that the Philistines were upon him, he said, I will go out as of other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. He knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Without God, the strength of Samson was no more than that of other men. And when the Lord departed from him, the Philistines captured him and put out his eyes and made a slave and a public spectacle of him. What is it, brethren? What is it that causes the Lord to depart from man? Well, the answer is simple, very simple. Sin. It's sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God drove them out of his presence. God would not dwell where sin was, nor will he allow sin to dwell with him. I like what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 59, if you'll look with me. Isaiah 59. Here we find the state of the sinner in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Most of us know this. Isaiah wrote, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So sin separates man from God, and the state of the separate person is awful. I think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, and I wish you'd turn with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul, when writing about the sinful Gentiles, described it in this way in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now turn to John 9. John chapter 9. Most of you may remember in John chapter 9, Jesus had just healed a blind man, and charges were made to the man that Jesus was a sinner. In verse 31, the man replied to the Pharisees, the one who had leveled the charges. He said in verse 31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Even though a lot of people would argue with that statement, it wasn't argued with them, even by the leaders of the Jews. They didn't argue. The truthfulness of the statement was too firmly rooted in God's teaching from his very earliest dealings with man. When a person refuses to hear God's word and do his will, God will no longer hear that man. Please remember, my friends, that it is not that God cannot hear. When we choose to walk in sin, our iniquities and our sins separates us from God, and he will not hear. Understand, it is not that God cannot hear. It is that he will not hear if we're in sin. The same idea is stated in Proverbs 1, verse 24 through 28. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon wrote in verse 24. He said, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Sin's an awful thing, brethren, an awful thing. Again, if you will, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, the Bible says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." What an awful thing it is to walk after our own will, to do just what we want to do, and then find out that the Lord has departed, just like Samson, and we didn't even know it. You may remember that Jesus gave this warning to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Let's read this. Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says, beginning in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." There was just no other way, brethren. There's no other way. When we're headed in the wrong direction, we must turn around then, and not until then, God will hear us. We have to turn around. We have to repent, then God will hear us. And that was true with Samson. After being blinded and enslaved, Samson prayed to God for strength. God heard his prayer and he answered. Let's go back to Judges chapter 16, if you would, please. Judges 16. When we all get there, let's read verses 28 through 30. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. It is true that God heareth not sinners, but if they will repent and turn back to him, he will hear. What a merciful and wonderful God and Father in heaven we have. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 3. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. He said, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments, he's pleased with us, and he will hear our prayers. And in James 5:16, we're told the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we listen to God, he'll listen to us. When we turn away from him and his will, he will depart from us. How sad not to even know it. And you know, my friends, the Bible tells us of religious-minded people, individuals who believe that they're worshiping God from whom God hath departed, and they most certainly did not even know it. Look with me at one of my favorite passages, and one of the most important and ignored passages in the Bible. That's Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21-23. This is our Lord Jesus speaking here, and he said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what was the problem here? What's the problem? Why had God departed from them and they knew it not? Because they worked iniquity or lawlessness in their worship service to God. That's why he departed. They wanted to worship him in their own way. They wanted to serve him in their own way. And they wanted to make the church as they wanted it, not as God wanted it. And they departed enough from the truth that they didn't even know it. Brethren and friends, if denominational world understood and would adhere to this passage, Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, you know what would happen? There would be no denominations at all today. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Then our Lord's prayer for unity would be answered. So if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, let me ask you, can you find book, chapter, and verse for all that the church you attend does in their worship service to God? There are even those within the body of Christ who have begun to fade away, no longer living as they should, no longer faithful in their service to God, yet very confident that they're saved. You know why? Because they have their name in a directory of a faithful church of Christ. They know not that the Lord has departed. And there are those who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and yet they walk around very confident that they are good people, and if the Lord returns, they'll go to heaven because they really haven't been that bad at all. They know not that the Lord has departed. Oh, my friends, Samson is a great warning. Let us heed it. Let us heed it. If you're an unfaithful Christian, a Christian, make it right. you can make it right this evening. If you're worshiping in a man-made denomination, come out of it. Come out from among them that worship and serve the Lord as He is set forth in the New Testament, beginning with obedience to the gospel, which is the same thing that those of you who have never claimed to be a Christian need to do. How tragic it is to know not that the Lord has departed. Now, brethren, I want to reread something we read a minute ago. Go back, if you would, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And we're going to reread verses 21 through 23. Now, Matthew 21, 23, verses from Jesus' sermon was His warning regarding His teaching. The application is, if we want to enter heaven, we must do the Father's will. Again, I'm going to repeat what we just read. When He says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father who is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Thy name, and by Thy name cast out demons, and by Thy name do many mighty works? And I will say, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquities." If you would look at Acts, the 2nd chapter for a moment, Acts chapter 2. Now when Joel prophesied of the coming of the Spirit, which prophecy began to be filled in Acts chapter 2, he said in verse 21 of Acts 2, "And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now go over to Romans chapter 10. From Jesus' warnings in Matthew, the 7th, evidence that calling on the name of the Lord means more than just saying, "Lord, Lord." It also requires more than just faith. And Paul alludes to Joel's prophecy in Romans 10 when he said that the Lord in verse 12 is rich unto all that call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him on whom they have not believed? Observe that before one calls on the Lord, he must believe. So the first one believes, and then he calls. Go back to Acts 2 and verse 37, please. So many people get this wrong, what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. In short, to call upon the name of the Lord is to call upon His authority, to do what He commands in order to receive His blessings. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Peter promised that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He then told them who asked, "Brethren and friends, what shall we do?" In verse 37 of Acts 2. He told them in verse 38, "To repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Sadly, many sincerely believe they have served and are serving Christ, but will learn at the judgment day that they have not. They were workers of iniquity. And Jesus concluded His sermon with a familiar parable. That's the parable of the two builders. That's right there in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let's look at it. Verse 24 through 27. Now Jesus is speaking here in verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of Mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And every one that heareth these sayings of Mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." One of the builders was wise. He built upon the rock. The other was foolish. He built upon the sand. It's recorded that both men heard the sayings of Jesus. The difference was that one did the words that he heard, which was the wise man, and the other did not do what he heard, which of course is the foolish man. is still a wise man who hears and does. A foolish man hears but does not do. Every one of us is building his house. He is either a wise or a foolish builder. The question of the moment is, what kind of a builder am I? What kind of a builder are you? My friends, in order to become a Christian, there are certain conditions that the Lord Jesus has set. You must hear the gospel. You must believe it. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sin, immersed. And if you're not a Christian, why don't you take advantage of this opportunity this evening and become a Christian? Everything is ready. The Lord is waiting. But before we close, I want you to listen to His plea. Come with me, if you will, I didn't write the verse down. Come, remember the passage. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Thank you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let me ask you, how can you resist the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How can you resist His gentle plea to become a Christian? So don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next year. And you know what you do if you wait? You're saying to the Lord, you're saying, I know what you're saying, Lord, and I believe it. But I want to live in sin just a little longer. I know what you're saying, but let me live in sin just another week or two. That may not work. We can help anyone. Please, step down the aisle as we stand and as we sing.